This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash, and by anonymous sponsor. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning to you, Laurie.
It's welcome back.
Nice to be back on the air again. Last week was a good one. But I do think that this is going to be an interesting week for us to talk about things. Obviously, every week has all sorts of things that are important for the Conservative Watchdog News Review. However, this week, we have all sorts of things going on in Congress because of what happened with the firing of, you know, Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. So I want to really focus on that. And the way to focus on it is for us to be able to talk to Jerry Carl, who is our congressman. And I've invited him to come on, and he should be calling in any minute now. Okay. So in order to conduct this interrogation, I've brought my sponsor
interview
here,
you meant to
as
say
I
interview
always do, right, and not an interrogation, but I've got Kevin Spriggs here on with me in the studio. So I think this is kind of a tag team. We've done this before where we've had Jerry Carl visit with us and in a non-radio setting, but nevertheless, we've done this before with the congressman, so I thought this is a good opportunity to do that. So good morning, Kevin.
Thank you, and good morning.
Yes, okay, so so here we are, and this is what, I send an agenda to Congressman Carl, and essentially what we want to do is start off talking about what's going on with the McCarthy business, the pro and cons of that, the issues pertaining to what does this process mean for the Republican Party, and the degree to which, you know, the politics of it is a part of it. So we have other issues that we want to talk about too, which we'll get to with the congressman, who Laurie tells me he's now on the air. Congressman Carl, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Lou. I'm just so blessed to be back home for a few days. I'm doing great.
Yeah, I'm sure that you're glad to escape the chaos and the mayhem and whatever else you want to call it. But I'm certainly appreciative of you to come on this morning. Kevin Spriggs is here with me, and I think that I told Laurie that we'll start the interrogation here pretty soon. Okay, as soon as you call in, and of course, it's not an interrogation.
Hello.
This is an
Kevin.
Interview.
Hello.
So say hi to Kevin.
Hey, buddy. It's good to hear your voice, Kevin.
All right. Good deal. I'm glad you're back home.
All right. So.
Well, I'm headed back Monday.
Yeah, I mean, that's our understanding, too, that there's supposed to be a vote on Tuesday. So, yeah, before we get into some of the hard questions, what is your sense of where this is going? And, you know, Jim Jordan has come out, and, you know, he's supposed to be running for Speaker of the House. We think Scalise is going to be there. What's your sense of where that is going?
You know, I'm probably a middle-of-the-road guy at this moment because I want to know two things. One's about Jim Jordan. I love Jim. Jim would do a great job. There's no doubt in my mind. I would support him in a heartbeat. But I want to hear what the plan is to replace Jim Jordan on his committees because he's done such great work on the DOJ and putting information together on that.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit fearful that may fall by the wayside if we don't have a Jim Jordan in place. Now, on the other hand, with Steve Scalise, Scalise obviously has had some health problems lately.
Right.
And I want to hear from him exactly what the progression is, if any. I understand he's doing much better and his treatments are working, but I want to hear it from him. And we've got conference calls later today that'll be for the members, and then Tuesday night we'll get a chance to also talk to both candidates again then. So I think we're blessed that we got two very strong, capable men that can do the job and do a great job, but I've got those open questions about both of them. So I want to get that figured out before I fill out my ballot.
Well, let me ask you this. In terms of what's going on, I mean, the chaos associated with this is just, you know, grist for the Democrats, and we all understand that. But is there any chance that McCarthy could come back and decide to run again? And again, like
McCarthy,
I said, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. McCarthy assured us that he was through.
Yeah.
Now, anything, you know, say never to the
right.
Never say never.
Never say never. Right.
He's through. I've heard no rumors of him even considering it at this point. You know, it's going to be, you know, if you look at the personality standpoint, everybody loves Jim. They really do.
Yeah.
Steve Scalise has got the ability to probably pull everybody together quicker. Jim can do it, but I think Scalise could do it quicker. You know, just so many ifs for me. I know everybody wants to know how I'm going to vote. Quite honestly, I don't know until I get a lot of questions answered.
Right.
You know, in a public setting and in a forum that we're going to have.
Well, let me get into kind of the who shot John is part of this agenda that we have, okay? We certainly want to kind of get to a sense of where you stand on, you know, the pros and cons of what happened to McCarthy. You know, the argument that he didn't follow his promises. This is what Congressman Good and Gates have been sounding, you know, sounding off on for a fairly long time, and it finally came to fruition. So in terms of keeping his promises, which essentially, as I understand it, was to, you know, get control of the debt if possible, go back to regular order, and make sure that that we avoided the continuing resolutions that have been sort of part and parcel of how they do business and getting back to regular order. So from the standpoint of the promises...
So let's talk about that real quick, Lou.
Okay.
We are back to regular order. We put together a CR that in conference everyone agreed to. We added more money in there for the border. We added more money in there for a pay raise for our military. And we get it on the floor on Friday night, and 20 vote against it. Just come out of nowhere and voted against it.
Yeah.
So as we met for a conference that night afterwards, because we're dead in the water, there's nothing we can do, we're about to be issued a CR coming from the Senate, which will just be slap-packed full of pork.
Right.
So it came up on the floor, not from McCarthy, but from other members, let's try to offer a clean CR to keep the Senate from doing that to us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, everyone in the room seemed to be in agreement to it. When we get it on the floor, we've got eight people that shoot that down. So it's mass confusion. You know, you're talking about Bob Good. You're talking about Matt. You know, I know Bob Good very well. We went in together as freshmen. I want to be careful there, but Bob's full of a lot of anger at a lot of people.
Yeah.
He claims that, you know, there was some money from the RNC that was spent against him in a campaign. Well, that's water under the bridge where I'm from. You get over that, just start serving your people, because the people that I'm very close with now work very hard to keep me from being elected. With Matt, it's more of a personal issue. They've made that well known.
Right.
He's been, him and McCarthy have been at one another's throat ever since the ethics violations,
yeah,
or investigation. Let me rephrase that. That Matt went through, and he claims McCarthy wouldn't save him from it and all of that. I mean, those are things that are outside of our control. But to bring that on the floor and use that for a reason to shut this country down, I think that is wrong.
Well, and I think that
my personal feelings about somebody should not determine how my vote is cast.
Well, I mean, that does go back to the cons of what they did, and that leads you to this chaos. And while I agree that there has been a regular order approach, it seems like the fact was that you only had four appropriation committee bills ready to go, and you needed the 12. So, again, is that sufficient justification to say we're going to fire McCarthy? I personally don't think so. I thought if someone like Jim Jordan is willing to go along with McCarthy's program, as you suggested, with you know the CRS, the continuing resolution,
okay,
and
so
it's including.
Let's talk about the appropriations real quick. We have 10 appropriations that have passed through our committees. I'm on appropriations.
Uh-huh.
We have 10 that we have actually passed through our committees that they have to go through multiple committees before they come on the floor.
Right.
Most people don't realize that. Just because we pass it doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be when it gets on the floor.
Sure.
So we have two in my committee. We have two appropriation bills that we've got to finalize. We can't get those finalized because we can't get enough votes of our own people on the committee. The far right side wants such deep cuts, I'm talking 50% and 60% and some of these, that we can't get enough votes from our moderates to do it.
Yeah.
We all want the DOJ cleaned up. We all agree on that. But do you shut the entire DOJ down, or do you peel that onion and get the top two layers? So one side wants it completely shut down by totally defunding it, and the moderates are saying that they won't vote for it. I'm sitting there saying I'll vote for dang near anything as long as we can get it out of here and get it on the floor. Because either way, I mean, it works, but you truly can't expect this government. And I mean, we're all angry at the DOJ. But, you know, it's the DOJ that keeps the local gangs from busting in our house. It's the DOJs that are running investigations behind the scenes and working with our local law enforcement. The DOJ bad guys, to me, are in Washington.
Well, yeah.
Bad guys right there. And the only way we can get rid of one or two of those, quote-unquote, impeaching, that doesn't mean they get kicked out of their office. The only way we're going to get rid of them is get a new president, and he starts the chopping process.
Well, let me ask you this, and it kind of goes to what Kevin McCarthy agreed to back in January, okay? And this process whereby this vacating this position on the call of one individual, okay, that had to be done. Do you think that sort of process going forward will prevent leadership from doing? So like you just said, you're in your committee, you've got the hard right people who don't want to do anything other than just, you know, knock them all down.
Burn it down.
Okay, so, but isn't part of leadership the ability to take those individuals and say, look, we need to get on with this. This is our promise. You're hurting us in the future. And if you don't do something, then I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make it hard for you. You know, whatever that might be, but you can't do that if your hands are tied.
I agree with that. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
If it was me, you know, these eight people, I don't care what their position, who they are, you know, they would show up on Monday morning. They'd have a new office down in the basement with no windows.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have a committee to sit on. I mean, that's the way that I would deal with it. And all these are my friends. So I'm being honest with you here. The problem is when we voted in that one vote vacate option, we set McCarthy up for a failure. And we knew it at the time.
Yeah.
We knew this would happen. We just didn't know when. So if we don't change that, we're going to go through this every time eight people get mad. It's literally one person can bring it up, and eight people, which is 4% of the body, of the,
right,
the Republican caucus,
you want to
eight people can get somebody kicked out. If it's Jim Jordan, for example, you get one people that call for his vacate, and if he can get seven or eight of his buddies to vote with him, Jim Jordan can be snatched off too. So I think where we went wrong was, and McCarthy's the one that pushed us to vote for it. That was part of the deal he made with the Freedom Caucus group and some of those, that they wanted that one vote vacate rule, and he went along with it. He said, if that's what it takes to, you know, get us uniformed, we'll do it. So, you know, that's hindsight. Dr. Lou, you know, we need to be moving forwards. You know, I think you're going to see that rule brought back up this week. We'll probably have that same argument over again. Historically, that's been a 51% rule. So it took 51% of the caucus to actually call the speaker up to vacate, which makes more sense to me, or even 25%, but not just one vote. I think that's just asking for trouble. I don't care who's up there. It's asking for trouble.
Kevin, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I would also point out, and the national media does not, except I did even see Joe Scarborough talk about it on MSNBC, and that is, you know, there were 200 and something Democrats that voted to remove, you know, the speaker. And you would think if there were such a thing as a good Democrat that, you know, in light of, oh, we got really critical budget items coming up, we can fight it out later, we have the presidency, you know, we're in pretty good shape as far as keeping the deep state alive. But yet, no, none of the Democrats would break ranks to, you know, help eliminate the chaos. And
well, Kevin, as you well know, the Democrats are very organized, and they will kick you off your committee, and they will put you in the basement if you don't follow leadership's rule. The leadership, Democrat leadership, came out and said that they were whipping their folks not to vote for McCarthy. It works to their advantage to see us all torn up and in this confusion. I mean, it shows our weakness. It shows our inability to do our job. So no, I wouldn't expect any of them to vote to keep McCarthy in there. I mean, they're having their finest hour right now, watching us and talking about how dysfunctional we are. But I knew there would not be any support from the Democrat Party. That just wasn't going to happen. But on the other hand, let me go with this. So we get I'll let that one go. Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry. I got to pick my fights on this one.
Well, you know, I've just always seen the Democrat Party as an arm of Satan, and Team Satan plays hard, okay, and don't play by any rules either. So,
well, I mean,
So McCarthy, if you said that, let me follow up with this.
Okay,
McCarthy got vacated by what? Eight people? Eight Republicans? 200 plus Democrats?
Right.
And Matt Gaetz stands on the Democrat side to make the debate? So does that mean those eight people are Democrats?
Hard to say.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying that there's in the scheme of things, I'm over McCarthy. I'm over him being taken off. My feelings were hurt. I felt sad for him. I mourned for a day. I'm over it. We got to move forward. We got to start figuring out how to fix it. We know it's broke. Now we got to figure out how to fix it.
Well, along those lines, let's kind of focus on that a second. And part of fixing it is having a game plan to deal with what has been done. Now, you've just mentioned getting rid of this one person vacate and doing something that makes sense so that you can't be, you know, going through this all over again. But, you know, when you think about it, Jerry, what are the prospects of that happening? And maybe with a Jim Jordan who's more conservative than McCarthy was, you can avoid the January, you know, 11 ballots and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, do you think that's possible to work through this so that you can at least begin to recreate regular order and get on with the business that's necessary?
Lou, we don't have an option. We've got to figure out a way to make it work. You know, we have to come together. I think you're going to have a hard time getting the majority. When I say the majority, I'm talking about 200 plus Republicans to agree to go back to the one voice vacate rule. I can't see that happening. So that's where the problem's going to actually start. Is we'll have to start picking those people away, the 18 or 22. Whatever the number winds up being, we've got to start one-on-one trying to reason with them on why it's not going to work. And, you know, that's the reason it took McCarthy 15 rounds to get elected.
Yeah.
Because each round, I wasn't part of that, but they were negotiating with each one of those members that were voting against McCarthy. And they were negotiating for silly stuff. They run out of things to negotiate for.
Yeah.
So they started asking for new offices and stuff closer to the Capitol. I'm telling you, it just got ridiculous. So I hope this time it's going to be different. I hope we're more business-oriented, because we got a lot of good things from the Freedom Caucus brought to the table during that process. We got some good stuff out of it. I'm not saying it was wrong. I just think it got silly after a point, and we should have just, you know, moved on. But I hope we don't do that here. I hope we can get together and actually share what our thoughts are, you know, express our opinions, and then try to come up with something that as a group we can step out and be unified on. Because if we're not, we're going to go through the same vote process over and over and over again.
Well, that leads me to...
Yeah, this is probably 8 or 10 people that hold all of this up. You know, you may have one area that you feel very passionate about, but are you willing to shut everything down for that one issue? I find that hard to do. I really do.
Right. Well, I certainly agree with you. I think Kevin and I would all be on board with something like that. But here again, we're back to now you're on a timeline to get these, you know, the continuing resolution is there. You've got, what, 6 weeks to finish what's going on with your appropriations. So is it possible to do both at the same time before you have a speaker, or is everything frozen at this juncture?
No, we'll appropriations will reconvene Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it's Tuesday. We will try to finish the last two bills. We will try our best to get enough Republicans to vote for the packages that we have put together. And we'll try to finish our portion of it. Then it moves to Ways and Means, and it moves to the other committee. The only thing not having a speaker does is it shuts down anything from coming to the floor.
Right.
So there's no one that can be the speaker on the floor, so it's basically shut down. But that doesn't stop us from working on appropriations.
Okay, well, that's good
to
hear.
We were planning on staying up there this weekend working on appropriations. And things got so heated and hot in the conference that they just told us to go home. They said, we got to have a cooling down here. You know, everybody go home, enjoy your family for the weekend, because when you come back, we're staying here until it's finished.
Okay.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are we going to be able to do it? I can't give you an honest answer on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's good to hear, though, that the process itself will go on, okay? But here's the next question, okay? The political aspects of this, I mean, given what happened in 22, which is supposed to be the red wave, okay, that didn't happen for a variety of different reasons. This upcoming election has to be one of the most important elections ever, simply because the Democrats are so off the rails with all this woke, crazy stuff, okay? And whether or not, you know, you're a moderate Republican or a far righter, it just seems to me that the political reality is that this is going to give the Democrats more grist for the mill, that the Republicans don't care about this country. They're interested in their own personal vendettas, whatever they're going to say. So the question at this point is, going forward, even while you're in the middle of this chaos, is there some spokesperson who's going to be out there saying what you just said? We're going to get through this. It's going to be, you know, it may take a couple of days, but let's lay out the case against the Democrats and what the Democrats are doing, you know, even in the middle of the chaos, because we're the better team, or something along those lines.
We don't have to lay the case out on the Democrats. The president has done a fine job for the last 3 years. We're missing every opportunity. And these were conversations we had in conference. The biggest number one issue in this country to every member of Congress is the border, period. Nothing else comes in close to that. So we're giving up. We're taking the attention off the border, which we're really. I mean, look what the president did yesterday or day before when he said they were going to finish some of the border walls.
Right.
That was huge. That didn't happen because he woke up one morning and said, "Hey, we really need it." That's happened because for 3 years we've been pounding this in people's heads through the media and through our debates on the floor. We got to fix it. We got to do it now. We can't wait. So, but we're giving that ground up. We're not talking about Hunter Biden. We're not talking about the border. We're not talking about things that really need to be talked about. We're talking about two people that get in a spat, and here we are without a speaker. That's what we're talking about. And that's before we shut down, before the speaker even got vacated, we expressed that. Everybody expressed that in that private meeting. So I don't know what else we can do. I think there's so many personal... I mean, we've got some members that are going to be running for governor, and you know they're trying to get as much of the spotlight as they can. We've got some that are going to be running for Senate. They're trying to get as much spotlight as they can, so they're stirring as much as they can up. They're show horses. They are not workhorses. They're show horses. I am not a show horse. I'm a workhorse. You may disagree with the work I do, but I do work. I try my best to stay out of camera. I like local radio. I like local news. But I don't run to get on Fox News. None of those folks vote for me. I want to hear what the people in this district want, what they need, what they feel like the priorities are, and that's who I want to represent. So we got some real personality problems up there. The difference between us and the Democrats is the Democrat Party knows if they don't follow the line and do as they're asked to do, they will be punished severely. Republicans just aren't that way. We're more independent. We're free-thinking. I mean, that's what makes us Republicans.
Right.
But I think we do need a strong hand to tell a handful, and I'm not saying it's this eight, but whoever the next eight's going to be, you know, you got to knock it off. Man, we got to be one. We've got to come together as Americans and get this worked out. I don't care what you're running for, governor or senator or whatever, but... I don't know. It's a show horse mentality, and D.C. is